Just to flag at the start, this episode of the Indo Daily contains descriptions of the murder of a child, so please take care while listening. The baby had been alive for up to 5 days when someone killed him. He was found naked, shoved between rocks, with his tiny neck broken. There were 28 separate knife wounds on his body, most of them shallow, hesitation wounds, in which the knife was pulled back at the last second. Most were to the neck. The fatal wounds, inflicted when the knife was plunged 4 times into his heart, put an end to a tragically short life. Frenzied was the word used to describe the murder of the baby found on White Strand Beach in Carrizavi in County Kerry 40 years ago this week. An unspeakable horror, meted out with violent intent. To this day, it is not known who did it or why.
Thousands of hours of investigative work have been put into this case. Literally hundreds of people have been interviewed, and Gardaí have followed 560 separate lines of inquiry. A small but significant group of people had been asked to volunteer DNA samples for the Garda investigation.
In March of 2023, a couple were arrested and taken for questioning about the baby's murder. They were later released without charge, but Gardaí say DNA test proves they are the parents of baby John.
Did your clients cooperate with the questioning?
They've denied repeatedly any criminality, not to mind murder.
For locals, the first part of the mystery surrounding the case has now been solved. The question remains, who killed baby John, and will they face justice? I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Catherine Feegan, special correspondent with the Irish Independent, to unpack the latest shocking developments in a story that continues to haunt Ireland, the Kerry baby scandal. Catherine Feegan, it's 40 years ago this week that one of the most horrific sagas, events, tragedies in Irish society unfolded in the town of Carrizavi in County Kerry. Can you remind me, how did what we now call the Kerry baby scandal begin?
So we go back to April 14th, 1984. The location is Carrizavi, as you've mentioned, and we go to a beach there called White Strand. It's a very small strand of sand, really, close to the water there. And a local farmer, Jack Griffin, he runs along that strand quite routinely. It's a Saturday evening. He's out for his routine run. And as he's running along the beach, something catches his eye in the rocks. So he goes over to look, and his first thought is that a doll? It couldn't be a baby. Takes a closer look, and it is in fact a baby. He goes to another neighbour and they go back to check again. He wants clarification that what he's found is in fact a baby. And he gets that clarification. A local undertaker is called and the baby is taken away. That baby that was found had been stabbed 28 times and its neck had been broken, and a local undertaker, Tom Cronan, that evening baptised the baby and gave him the name John. And we now know that baby is baby John.
And that baby was only a few days old, so it's around about today, potentially baby John's 40th birthday would have occurred. The Gardaí obviously become involved, and what happens from there?
The authorities are called, obviously, a murdered baby on a beach. Big news story then, and they start about their inquiries. And a team is sent from Dublin, actually, to investigate this. They're focused on women who've recently had baby boys. They find a woman called Joanne Hayes, who is from Abbeydorney, which is 80 kilometres away from where this baby is found. So quite a distance. And they focus their attention on Joanne Hayes. They find out that she has been pregnant, had a long stay in hospital with this pregnancy, but there's no sign of the baby. So they determine that the baby on the beach is Joanne Hayes' baby, that she's murdered the baby and driven all this way and placed it on the beach, or somebody has helped her to do this. And Joanne is taken in for questioning, and her family are questioned about what happened. And during the course of this questioning, the family and Joanne make a number of confessions. And the story is that she had this baby and she stabbed it with a carving knife and beat it with a brush and took the baby to Dingle with the help of her parents and placed it in the water. Now, in fact, what happened is Joanne had been pregnant and had her own baby, baby Shane, again, a boy. The baby was stillborn and she buried it in the farm where she lived. So we have two babies, the Abbey Dorney baby and the Cahir Savine baby.
Now there were two babies, and the Hayeses had presumably been charged for the infant miles away at Cahir Savine.
She's taken in, she's questioned at length, her family are questioned at length. There's a lot of pressure building. The guards are very focused on her as the prime suspect, and she admits to this awful crime.
So there were serious questions to be answered. How did the statements from the Hayeses about the stabbing of a baby emerge if the account of the birth in the field was correct? Did they confess to something they did not commit?
But yet, all charges against Joanne Hayes and her family are dropped. And from there, this scandal widens even further.
Yes. So we're back in the 1980s and DNA wasn't a thing back then. But the guards had done the blood tests on the babies and they had got blood samples from Joanne Hayes and the man she was in a relationship with at the time, Jeremiah Locke. So we have the blood samples from them and they have blood samples from both babies. And the baby on the beach, the murdered baby, was blood type A. And Joanne and Jeremiah were blood type O. So, you know, it was an impossibility.
Not possible.
Not possible that they could be the parents of this baby. But this is disregarded. The guards still continue that she must be the mother of this child, focused on her. And they come up with this theory that she has given birth to twins, to two different fathers.
The Gardaí then suggested that Joanne could have had twins by two separate fathers. There's also a theory that three babies might have been involved.
And that one of these fathers must be a blood type A, and that would account for baby John.
Consanguinity was the phrase that had to be explained to people back in the mid-80s.
Very rare a phenomenon. And never heard of before. And this is put forward, this bizarre theory is put forward by them to explain this impossibility. Eventually, you know, Joanne was charged and her parents were charged with concealment. The charges are later dropped.
Eventually, in October, after 5 months, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions described the case as crazy and the charges were dropped.
There is no case here. And eventually she directs guards to her baby on the farm. And there's a massive fallout with all of this because you have a woman who they've blamed, her family who they've dragged into this. And we don't know who killed the baby on the beach. So this is all going on in October 1984. And by late 1984, we have a tribunal of inquiry established to find out, it's known as the Kerry Babies Tribunal, to investigate how she was charged with murder and this whole family concealment.
So the scandalous part of this is that ultimately out of that inquiry, Gardaí are exonerated, even though the confessions were clearly could not have been correct. And as well as that, Joanne Hayes is subjected to intense questioning over multiple days about her personal life and so on and so forth.
Controversy continued as the inquiry got underway. Joanne Hayes was cross-examined about intimate details of her private life. She broke down several times during her 5 days in the box and had to receive medical help. Flowers and well wishes poured in. Women's groups became particularly annoyed.
Nowadays, we think that couldn't be possible. This is mid-1980s. Ireland, a very Catholic conservative place at the time in the depths of the bleak economic fortunes of the 1980s. So it is a national scandal.
Here's Joanne Hayes talking to Gay Byrne about the tribunal and its impact on her and her family.
Did you not expect that the tribunal would find as it did?
I didn't expect to clap in the back, but I didn't expect it to go so hard on me. And after all, the tribunal was set up to look into the behaviour of the Gardaí, but it was I who went on trial.
From there, then, where does this investigation go?
So we have the tribunal, as you say, Joanne is cross-examined for up to, I think it was 5 days, put through the mill, all these intimate questions about her personal life, her sex life, the way she carried about her business with men, and really awful question. And like you say, the guards are essentially exonerated. And then, you know, it goes away for a time until 2017. Joanne's lawyer has been calling for DNA to prove she had nothing to do with this. And we've had all these advancements in the interim in terms of forensic science. And in 2017, that DNA test is done. The guards have this sample that was taken from baby John, and they test Joanne's DNA against that. And for once and for all, she's ruled out as the mother of that child. So it's a big, it's a significant thing for Joanne and her family. And then in 2018, she's given this state apology.
Ireland was such a different place in the 1980s than it is now. And I absolutely want to reiterate the apology that the Gardaí has made, have made to Joanne Hayes, and also to make that apology on behalf of the state as well.
The acting Garda commissioner apologises, and they announce a cold case review of this entire case. So Joanne Hayes, not the mother, and we're going to look at this again. We're going to find out who is the mother. We're going to find out who has killed this baby.
So you're basically 3.5 decades later, the case is reopened.
The case is reopened, and it's all based on forensics, on DNA. So in 2021, they moved to exhume baby John's body. He'd been interned in a grave in Cahersaveen by the local undertaker. And although they had a small sample from the time, they needed a better sample. So they exhumed the body and they take another sample, and they set about trying to find out who they can link with this sample. And they go door to door again in Cahersaveen. They go to Valentia Island. There's an appeal put out for volunteers to come forward to submit their own DNA from the locality. And the guards go right back to the beginning of the investigation and start from scratch. So there's this call out for DNA and a lot of door-to-door inquiries and talking to people again about what was going on at the time.
So the theory is they'll get a broad enough sample of DNA from the broad area, and hopefully they get a hit against baby John's DNA.
Yeah, I think the feeling always was that this was local. And that there were connections to this locally. So then, you know, we hear nothing for a time. And then in March 2023, out of the blue, we hear that a couple have been arrested in connection with the murder of baby John.
Some news that's just breaking this evening, and two people, a man in his 60s and a woman in her 50s, have been arrested by Gardaí investigating the so-called Kerry Babies case. They're being held on suspicion of murder.
So a year ago, major breakthrough in the case, an unnamed couple arrested in connection to it. We're a year on now. You travelled down to Kerry last week to report on this story as the 40th anniversary was arriving. What's the general view down there about where this case rests in the history of the area and where it is now?
It was really interesting to go down there and speak to people, because I think a lot of journalists know this story. I knew it. I hadn't been down there. And it was interesting to see all of the locations and speak to some of the people who were directly involved, like Jack Griffin, one of the farmers. I spoke to another farmer. There's still an awful lot of pain connected to this. People are very reluctant to talk, and even more so now because they know the identity of the couple who have been arrested. They were since released without charge. But locally, all of this is known, so they're not speaking in generalities anymore about this. So There is a real feeling that, you know, one part of this mystery has been solved in that we know who the parents are, but the other aspect, who murdered this baby, it's still a question that hasn't been answered, and people are slightly afraid to go there, was the feeling I got, and maybe reluctant to go there.
You spoke with the solicitor representing the couple. What's he saying then?
So, yes, Padraig O'Connell is his name, and I spoke to him in Tralee. He represents this couple, and he said that since their arrest and release without charge, their lives have been on hold. They've had no word from the guards in relation to the status of the investigation, and he said their lives are in turmoil, that they haven't, his words were, they haven't been in gainful employment since, and that they're waiting to hear, and they haven't heard anything. He said that during their interviews, they had denied they were the parents of this child, and they denied they had anything to do with the murder of this child.
How are your clients?
My clients are in a state of shock, hoping to get back to some normalcy and back to work.
Can they rebuild their lives?
I think that's a very hard question to answer. I would see it'll be extremely difficult.
Gardaí said they have irrefutable DNA that links them as parents to the baby, and they have said that the investigation is ongoing and that a file will be prepared for the DPP.
So it would appear that what happened in terms of the Garda investigation was they got this large sample of DNA from the broader community. And then as a result of that, there was a match to a family member, and then that directed them towards this couple. They then took a DNA sample from that couple, and that provided a direct match. So as far as the forensic science side is concerned, these are the parents.
As far as that side of things is concerned, as you say, yes, these are the parents. The solicitor for the couple has said that he hasn't seen any of this DNA evidence. He wasn't present when it was put to his clients, and he's waiting to see that. And if it exists and this case goes forward, it would have to be tested in a court of law.
So you say their lives are on hold. They haven't been able to go back to work. The people know in the community who they are. Their house was searched. What's happened as a result of that?
Yeah, so the lawyer said that at the time of their arrest, there was a warrant, obviously, for a search. He said their house was turned upside down, wallpaper was stripped, floorboards were taken up. He said the place was a mess when they were returned. Since then, they have fortified the house. They have installed CCTV, got a new gate in. He said this is to stop Gardaí calling unknowingly, was what the way he put it, and that they just wanted more privacy, that, you know, feel very stressed about the whole situation, and that they haven't been able to return to their lives as they knew them.
Is there any discussion now about, you know, this couple claiming the remains of baby John, or some family member claiming, well, we are the family and we want to remember him?
Yeah, I had asked the lawyer that question, you know, if it turns out that they are the parents, will they claim the baby? He said he hadn't discussed that with them. It's very poignant to go to that grave. I went to it in Cahersaveen. It's a tiny little grave, and it's cared for by Tom Kernan, the undertaker. He's since passed away. He cared for that grave for years and treated that baby like his own. Since he's passed, his daughter Catherine and her other siblings have taken on that role. And they look after the grave. They go visit the grave and they've had it blessed. But nobody has claimed that baby as their own. And I think that's really sad. A lot of people locally think it's sad. I know the Cornan family think it's sad. You know, there's a baby there in a grave with nobody to call its parents, nobody claiming it as their own.
What of Jack Griffin? You spoke with him, not so much his recollections, but his reflections now on those incidents of 40 years ago. And who was baby John?
Jack was initially very reluctant to talk. There was a sense that he wanted to talk and then he didn't want to talk. But we did speak. You could tell it was something that has always stayed with him. And he spoke about, you know, going down to that beach every year since, and on the anniversary, and saying a prayer there. And he said, you know, 40 years on, I'm an old man now. A lot of people connected with this have passed on. 40 years is a long time. And we talked about justice for baby John, and he agreed that there should be justice, but he said, you know, well, in what form would the justice take? And that's the question. Like, what is the justice for baby John?
There is a theory locally that beyond the parents of baby John, there was another individual involved in his murder.
Yes, there was another individual who has since passed away, who was living in an area at the time, who is supposed to hold some of the answers to all of this, or may know or have details about what has happened. That person, again, is known locally, but like I say, has since passed on and probably taken a lot of those secrets to the grave himself.
Until this case is formally closed, do you think there can actually be closure for that community in Carrigsaveen around this issue, which is still so very fresh in many people's memories?
I got the sense that a lot of people don't think that point's going to come, and this is a story that's always going to be connected with that area. And even though a lot of people have passed on and you've new generations, everybody knows the story of baby John. As soon as you even mention it, you know, people tense up. And because of what happened with Joanne Hayes and all of that terrible episode, there's a real sense of betrayal as well, and disappointment, and sort of people are reluctant to believe that they can get it right this time, I suppose, from the authorities. And maybe there's not a lot of faith with some people. So people don't really know, you know, will this lead to anything? There is a hope. Everybody has a hope. But until something significant happens, we're still living in the past in a way.
Finally, where is the Garda investigation at now?
Spoke to the Garda press office last week in relation to this. It's obviously a live investigation, so they're not saying much, but they have said that it is ongoing. They're continuing their inquiries, and there is hoped that a file will go to the DPP.
And from there, then, it'll be up to the Director of Public Prosecution to decide if there are charges of some sort to be brought here.
If there is a case to answer for someone, the DPP will decide.
And my thanks to Catherine Feegan for joining me today. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Gav Hennessy. Archive clips from RTE News and the Irish Independent. If you have been affected by any of the issues discussed on today's podcast, you can find a full list of helplines on the Irish Independent website. And if you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow the podcast and leave us a review.